Adios, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Gimel 1:13, and the third of the four cases in which Beis Hillel changed their mind to rule like Beis Shammai. This is a Mishnah, actually, which appears also in Maseches Gittin, then Perek Dalet, Mishnah Hey, and it is talking about the strange case of the Chetzio Eved v'Chetzio Ben Chorin, a person who is half owned as a slave and half a free man. So that could happen if, for example, there's a man, let's say Yaakov, and he buys a slave. The slave now becomes an Eved Kanani, owned by him. It goes to the mikvah. It gets bris milah. I should say he. And the Eved also becomes obligated in mitzvahs like a Jewish woman. Okay? Now, if Yaakov dies and he leaves two heirs, we'll call them Reuven and Shimon. So now Reuven and Shimon become co-owners in this slave. We'll call the slave Eliezer. Okay, so now Eliezer is owned by these two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. If Reuven should emancipate Eliezer for whatever reason, so now Eliezer now is half a Jew, because when Eved Kanani is emancipated, he already has been to the mikvah, he's already been keeping mitzvahs like a Jewish woman, he has bris milah, and so when he is freed, emancipated as a slave, he becomes a Ben Chorin, becomes a regular full-blown Jew, kind of like a convert through the back door. The problem is only half of his personhood is free. The other half is still a slave owned by Shimon. And therefore, this person is like half of him, so to speak, is obligated in mitzvahs like a Jewish man, and half of him owned like a Jewish woman. And this creates a couple conundrums. The one issue, which I'll call the lesser issue, is just a financial one. The financial one is he still owned his personhood, and most relevantly, his economic output is still owned by Shimon. Now, Shimon faces a bit of a problem, just in terms of economics, which is, if Eliezer doesn't want to work, Shimon really has no basic recourse, because everything that Eliezer does, half of it accrues to his personal benefit, and half of it accrues for the benefit of Shimon. So, if he's a slave, and Shimon wants him to work, the problem is, if he refuses to work, so then Shimon can't force him because he's also half free. And the half part that's free can't be forced to work. Jews are inherently free and can't be forced to be above them. So what is Shimon to do if he... And therefore, the rabbis made a takana. This is the starting point of the Mishnah, which is an economic consideration for Shimon, the slave owner, which says that instead of being sort of everything that every instant of his life, every penny of output that Eliezer the slave produces and does is co-owned 50-50 between him and his owner. Instead, they split up the days. So alternating days, let's say Monday, Wednesday, Friday, he works for Shimon, and Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, he works for himself. The idea, therefore, is that at least on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Shimon can force him to work if he refuses to work, and then he gets all the benefits. And on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, he can do what he wants for his own benefit or not, whatever he wants as a free person. Okay, now that solves the economic problem that Shimon faces. The problem is, what about Eliezer himself? Eliezer is stuck. Being that he's half free and half Jewish, he has like obligations, part of him has obligations like a Jewish man and part like a woman. Now, one particular problem, the focus of Mishnah, the essential problem, is that he has nobody to marry. As a slave, an Eved Kanani, can marry a Shifcha Kananis, also a slave girl, and they can have a family. And as a free person, he can marry a regular free Jewish girl. But a slave male, Eved Kanani, can't marry a free Jewish girl. And a free Jewish person can't marry a Shifcha Kananis, a slave girl. So since this guy is half free and half slave, like every cell of his body is half free, half slave, so therefore there's no one in the entire population he can marry. He can't marry Jews because he's half slave, and he can't marry Shifcha Kananis, slave girls, because he's half a free Jew. So what's he to do? And this is really a fundamental problem, because at the bedrock of the purpose of existence and like fundamental to the human experience and what Hashem created people to do is to build families. Now, this guy can't build a family because he can't get married. And although it's true that, there might be other things where he's sort of like trapped, sort of this in this weird halachic conundrum where he can't do certain things, that's not the same as having children. Because having children and building a family is something which is sort of fundamental, like the purpose of existence and to the human experience, and God would want him to be restrained from that. So therefore, we're going to have a discussion regarding a takana to solve that problem. And that's what happens in our Mishnah. Rabbi Shammai basically say we force the slave owner to emancipate his slave so they can get married. And Beis Hillel ends up agreeing that's the better of the two options. And therefore, he agrees that we force the slave owner to emancipate the slave. And of course, slave owner shouldn't have to incur some sort of financial loss necessarily. You know, this is an economic resource he has a slave. So now, in freeing the slave, he's sort of otherwise be losing something. So the slave who gets emancipated has to essentially write an IOU and reimburse, when he can afford to, his former owner. So if, in other words, if slaves go for $100 on the market, then the emancipated slave will give an IOU saying, I owe you $50 when I, you know, and then he'll pay it as he can. That's the gist of the Mishnah. So let's see the Mishnah inside. Mishnah says, Misha chetzio eved v'chetzio ben choron, a person who is a half slave and half free. It could be the way it described. It could simply be that two partners bought the slave and then won freedom, whatever the case is. And I should say also, it could be that there are 100 people that inherited the slave or bought it, and now even one of them emancipates the slave. So now, since he's partially owned and partially free, that's called chetzio, that's what chetzio means. And the same rules would apply whether it's two people, one and one, or 99 people who own him and one person freedom. So says the Mishnah, the Takanas Chacham is, Oved es rabo yom echad, ves atzmo yom echad. He will work one day for his master, and the output belongs to the master, and then one day, alternating, he works for himself and keeps the profits for himself. Divrei Beis Hillel, that's Beis Hillel Shita, and that's the Takana Beis Hillel. Amru lehem beishame. Beishame say, wait a second. Tikantem es rabo. Okay, it's good that you find a solution to the economic problems of Shimon, the half owner of the slave, because now Shimon can on Monday, Wednesday, Friday force him to work. Ves atzmo lo sakantem. But you didn't solve the problem, the inherent problem that the slave, half slave, has himself, which is he can't get married, can't build a family. Lisa shivcha enu yachol. He can't marry a slave girl because he's half free. And baschor enu yachol. He can't marry a regular free Jewish girl because he's half a slave. Libatel, rhetorical flourish, says the Beis Shammai. What do you propose? He just sit around, twiddle his thumbs, and never get married? That's inconceivable. Vahlo, lo nivra ha'olam el lefria rivia. Lefria rivia, actually. The whole purpose of existence was the world was created so that people could build up families, and this guy's not going to be able to do that. Shnei Amar, the pasuk says, this is a pasuk from Yeshaya, Lo Sohu Vara, he didn't create the world to be desolate. La Sheves Yitzara, it was created, the world was created to be inhabited by people, so people have to ensure they have children. Now, you might ask, wait a second, we have a much better pasuk than this. We have a pasuk from the Torah. In fact, twice the Torah says there's a mitzvah puravu. So why in the world are we coming to this like pasuk from Yeshaya? And an answer is that while it's true there's a mitzvah d'oraisa and the pasuk says it, mitzvah puravu, that would apply only to the male, the free half of this guy. But the slave half of him has mitzvahs like a female, and a Jewish woman doesn't have a mitzvah puravu, so therefore it wouldn't apply to that half him. But if we have recourse to this pasuk says that every human being is meant to participate in the populating of the world, and that would apply both to the slave and non-slave part of him. So that's why we prefer that pasuk. Ella, so rather, says Beis Shammai, bipnei tikkun olam, for the sake of making the world a better place, having tried to tikkun olam, fixing the world, and addressing this problem. Kofen es rabo, we force the owner of the slave, va'osa oso ben chorn, so that we can render the slave himself a free man, a Jew, and therefore he can get married and build a family. V'chosev shtar al chetzio damav, assuming al chatzi damav. And the slave who's emancipated will write an IOU to his former owner, saying, I'll pay you for half of the value of a slave when he can afford it. And chazru beis hillel lahoros kebeis shammai, and beis hillel retreated from their position. They said, you're right, that makes more sense. And therefore, even though the Torah actually has a restriction, la'olam behem ta'avodu, that you're not supposed to emancipate slaves for nothing. There's a mitzvah to keep them as slaves. That's only for the benefit of the slave, because the thought is that being a slave in a Jewish home and, you know, keeping kosher and Shabbos and the like is really to the benefit of the slave, being that he's really a soul, not a body, right? From the perspective of his eternity. But you were allowed to emancipate a slave for a mitzvah, even a mitzvah derabbanan. And here, so this is more than that. And therefore, you the right thing to do is to emancipate him. And that's what Beis Hillel sided with. And that'll be the halacha l'maisa.